Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Frather with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the part two to the weekend newsletter. This is the commodities edition for Sunday, February 1st. Many hours ago, Steve Nelson sent out the part one to the weekend newsletter, which is the general market analysis, and he sent that out well before the Super Bowl. So you should have had something to listen to and before the Super Bowl. I was hoping to get my portion of the newsletter, the commodities edition, out before the Super Bowl, but I got a late start and I wasn't unable to. I had all my charts and everything done during the Super Bowl, but I figured why put it out then, and I figured no one would listen to it. Plus, it was a very exciting game. As you know, the Pittsburgh won. It was a very, like I said, it was a very exciting game, and looked like the Cardinals could pull it off, possibly at the end, but they did not. I'm from the St. Louis area, and so I'm kind of a Kurt Warner fan. I remember his glory days here in 99 and 2000, and it was rooting for them, but they were not able to pull it off. However, Cardinals still did a great job this year. No one would have expected them, the Cardinals, to get that far and do that well at the beginning of the year. So great job, great game, and let's go ahead and get started on this newsletter. The first table here just gives you a compilation of what commodities and commodity stocks did. And generally, commodities and commodity stocks were down for the week, especially crude oil, down about 10%. Otherwise, you got kind of a mixed bag here. Some commodities were up, especially gold metal, which was up 3.4%, closed at $930. Huge week for gold, and silver did well. And however, gold stocks underperformed for the week. And that's something to be concerned about, and I'll discuss that below. Gasoline rallied 8.2%, so even though crude oil fell. So anyway, let's go and get started with the charts here. The first chart is the daily chart of the CRB, which is a compilation of about 17 different various commodities. And really, nothing has changed with this chart since the last newsletter and during the week, last week when I covered it. CRB is possibly trying to put in a bottom here. You have the 20 and 50-day moving averages coming together. However, it could also be forming a bearish descending triangle. Either way, it's going to break here one way or the other. And if it breaks the downtrend line to the upside, then that would be positive, and commodities should have a nice move up. However, if it breaks support, then they're probably going to make new lows and maybe make a divergent fifth wave low. But again, same analysis still applies that I discussed last week and also intra-week last week. And a lot of this probably depends on the U.S. dollar. The next is another chart of the CRB. And this I have Elliott Wave Count on it. And again, the CRB and commodities have either put in a low and are going to rally here. Again, your break point is the downtrend line. And of course, we got to get over these moving averages. Or Elliott wave-wise, we could still have to break down in a fifth wave, put a fifth wave low in before they bottom. Pretty similar to the general market. Again, we'll just have to see what plays out. Again, nothing has changed technically from last week. The next chart, the third chart, is the ETF to the commodities, the DBC. And again, you know, the same analysis applies. Nothing new. The next chart, looking at commodity stocks themselves, is CRX. CRX is the commodity stock index, and last week I had this as a potential bearish head and shoulders top. And this is starting to play out. The CRX commodity stocks fell along with the general market last week. As you know, the general market last week rallied early in the week, but then Monday and Tuesday, and then it fell the rest of the week to give all the gains back. Commodity stocks pretty much did as well. And anyway, this head and shoulder pattern possibly could play out, but the CRX is still holding this uptrend line. Pretty much just like the general market. It's still, you know, it looks weak, but it's still in those triangle patterns. Well, the CRX is still holding this uptrend line, and I guess this uptrend channel. So watch to see if this uptrend line breaks or to see if we rally off of it. But this will affect general commodities. The next chart is a weekly chart of commodity stocks. This is CRX. And the weekly chart concerns me because, you know, yes, the PPO or MACD crossed up and everything, but the 60-period stochastics at the bottom, you can see, failed to get over 20%. And this pattern looks suspiciously like a bear wedge pattern. So, and if that's true, then commodity stocks are going to break down, probably along with the general market. But you know, you could also push up one more time within a wedge. Remember, this is a weekly chart, so, but it's something to keep an eye on. Again, in the short term, I would just keep an eye on the daily CRX chart, the uptrend line. Looks like around the 50-day moving average is pretty key support. Below that would be 450, but anything below 450 on the CRX index would be bad news. And next, let's take a look at crude oil. Here's a daily chart of crude oil. Pretty much the same pattern as I discussed last week, last week's newsletter, and of course in last week's Tuesday and Thursday evenings updates. Tuesday and Thursday is generally the days I do the updates, by the way. Steve does the intra-week updates on Monday and Wednesday. So the CRX is still or the crude oil is still potentially in this inverse head and shoulder pattern, which is bullish. However, I have question marks here because it is not confirmed. But it needs to start rallying now if this is going to play out. And the 20 and 50-day moving averages, the red and blue moving averages are coming together. So a big move is coming, folks. But really, you can also see a very well-defined symmetrical triangle pattern here. Now, symmetrical triangle patterns often break in the direction that they've formed. So this is formed in the downtrend. So odds generally would favor a downside break. But however, it's not 100% that occurs. So if crude oil rallies here, you know, finds support to this uptrend line and breaks the downtrend line, then crude oil could rally and then, you know, rally up into the 60s or so, which would be a major target of that inverse head and shoulder pattern. So, you know, so we got to watch crude oil this week. Again, watch crude oil. It needs to hold support at 40, and for any rally to manifest, it needs to break out that downtrend line. If it breaks the 40 and closes below 40, that would be bearish, and it could start pulling down to new lows again. So, again, nothing new here. It's in a triangle pattern, symmetrical triangle pattern. Respect the direction it breaks. The next chart's another chart of crude oil. It's basically a close-up of the daily chart. The same analysis applies. And the next chart is a weekly chart of crude oil. You can see that it bounced off major support late last year, and it's pretty much in limbo here. The weekly stochastics, the regular 14.3 stochastics, you can see, is right at 20%. If it can get above 20%, that would be bullish. But essentially, it's sitting here trying to decide whether to go up here or have another pullback. Gasoline, I think I mentioned this chart a couple weeks ago. Again, we don't trade gasoline here, but I said it looked bullish, and it is, you know, it did have a move up here, and it's starting to take out some short-term resistance. So, you know, a possible target could be that 190 area. And remember, this chart does not have the taxes, and so, you know, says it's 127. Obviously, gasoline is not 127 at the pumps, but it gives you an idea of how much tax we pay on gasoline. I think gasoline in our area is, I think, $1.98 right now. So it's went up quite a bit from its lows. Now let's look at the oil and energy stocks. And again, pretty much the same thing as we've seen last week. Here's a daily chart of OIH, the Oil Services Index. It is in a beautiful symmetrical triangle pattern. Last week it rallied up, and it stopped right at that downtrend line. So now the 20 has crossed the 50, which is positive, but it needs to break over this downtrend line. If it can do that and break over that recent high of last week there, I can't tell what the number is, that would be bullish, folks, especially if some volume comes in there. 60-period stochastics, you can see it's trying to get over 50%, but it keeps struggling there. If that gets over 50%, that would be bullish. So if you're looking for if this breaks this triangle to the upside, you can buy OIH, this ETF, for a long trade. Now, if it breaks to the downside, you could, you know, it will be a short. Again, respect the direction it breaks. But the fact that if this breaks to the upside, and the fact this is holding up well, the volume patterns are actually quite constructive here. You've had some stronger volume on the up moves that you've instead of, you know, lower volume on the down moves, and so that is at least somewhat bullish. This gives some hope that maybe crude oil will actually have some upside move. And again, not that we necessarily want crude oil to move up, but it would provide a trade. So watch the OIH here. So watch this triangle in the OIH. Next is a 30-minute chart of OIH, and you can see the support here around the 76 area, looks like. And we'll see if it turns up there. The OIH and the 30-minute chart, I've noticed that these a 9 and a 55 moving average appear to work fairly well. And those are Fibonacci numbers, by the way. Next is a daily chart of DIG. DIG is the ultra-long oil and gas ETF. It's also in a triangle pattern, and not as a pretty of a triangle as OIH, but the volume patterns are still nice. The 20 and 50-day moving averages come together, but it found resistance there. The volume is lighter in this pullback. And again, it's just something to watch. XLE is the next chart, another energy ETF, energy stock ETF. What do you know? It's a symmetrical triangle pattern. And again, kind of mirrors the daily index charts, which are also in symmetrical triangle patterns. Next, let's look at a couple people asked me to look at natural gas on the blog. So here we go. Here's a weekly chart of natural gas. Natural gas, as you can see, has come back to a broken uptrend line from 2001 earlier this year in the fall, and had a big sell-off since then. It has now come down to what could be a horizontal support right around this area. However, the next chart, so it could bounce here. However, the ETF to natural gas, which is UNG, you know, was in a downtrend channel, and it broke the bottom line to the downside, and it would need to get back into this channel for any potential long. So UNG is not the best trader, and natural gas, you know, continues to be weak. So really nothing more to say about it. Platinum, which I mentioned late last year, I said if it broke 900, it could have a move back up. That should be a nice resistance area and should have a move higher, and it has. So if commodities move up, then it could easily move up to maybe that next target around 1,050. And next chart is a weekly chart of platinum. What concerns me about it is that the 20 EMA, weekly EMA, looks like it's going to be, could be resistance here. And Elliott wave-wise, I wonder if this is really just a big fourth wave rally, which would mean that a fifth wave pullback would be coming. Who knows? We really don't trade platinum here, but just something to watch. Aluminum, here's another commodity chart. Aluminum is possibly in a bullish falling wedge with some positive divergence, but again, it needs to break the downtrend line in the 20-day moving average. And the CRB would have to break that triangle to the upside. Palladium is also in a triangle, as you can see. So one thing you note, folks, is that many of these commodities are in these triangle patterns, and just like the general market. So here's the next. Let's talk about precious metals. Gold had a great week last week. It was up about 22 bucks, and huge week for gold. Here's a daily. Actually, gold was up about $31. I'm sorry. So huge week for gold. It was up about 3.4%. And here's a daily chart of gold. Now, last week I listed this downtrend line from July. The July highs is resistance. Well, gold took that out, and it stopped at the downtrend line from the March highs. It then pulled back, but it found logical support right on that broken downtrend line from the July highs, which is typically what happens in technical analysis. When you take out a resistance area, it often becomes support. So that's what happened. The gold rallied on Thursday, and then it had a big up day on Friday, and it took out one of the downtrend lines from the March highs. So huge week for gold. It had a nice technical breakout here. Now it is at another resistance. I could also draw a downtrend line from the March highs if I include the bodies of the candlesticks instead of the top wick. And so it's right there, which also corresponds with the September and October highs, right at 936. So gold is at major at resistance here at 936. If it can take this out, well, then it's got a clean shot pretty much up to possibly 990. So gold's looking pretty good here. It is overbought on a weekly stochastics, and there is some negative divergence via the MACD histogram. And just to keep an eye on, and there is potential a divergence developing in the PPO, but you know that would have to turn down to really qualify it as a divergence. But it looks strong. It is in a. You could also say it's in an uptrend channel. You could see that I have the gold rallied a few weeks back off the uptrend line in the 50-day moving average, and you can also see the uptrend line, the purple one. That could also be kind of a resistance area. So, you know, gold looks good here, and let's see if it takes out that 936 area. Next is the weekly chart, another weekly chart of gold, and I had this in last week's update. It's the commercial net short for gold. Last week, commercial net short, I think, was 139,000, and I said it had room to move to the upside, so in my opinion, gold would move higher. Well, that's exactly what occurred last week. Gold rallied about $32 and $31, and the commercial net short is now 158,000, so it's moved up again. But you know what? Excuse me, folks, I had to sneeze there, so I had to pause it. Anyway, gold, the commercial net short is 158. While that is, you know, is definitely well off the lows, it still has room to move up. Many times the commercial net short tops out around the 200,000 range or so. However, this number is as of last Tuesday. And so, you know, with the rally in gold, you know, especially Thursday and Friday, this number is probably higher. Maybe it's 170,000 now. Hard to say, but, you know, gold is at that resistance at 738. If it can clear that, that would be bullish. Also, on the weekly chart, watch the DI, the plus DI. It is trying to cross on the ADX there. That would be positive. So, next, let's look at a couple of the charts I had in last week's newsletter. The first chart is a long-term chart. It goes back to 1982. It has the moving averages on here. It's a monthly chart. It has the 8 and 21 exponential monthly moving averages. And you can see the price that I have really light in the background. You can see these moving average crossovers on this monthly chart tell you the trend very, you know, give you the long-term trends in gold very well. And this long-term uptrend, this bull market in gold began in 2001, and it continues. Even on that monster pullback we had earlier this year down to the high 600s, these moving averages never crossed. So long-term, the bull market remains intact. Now here's a weekly chart with some moving averages, two Fibonacci moving averages. These are the 13 and 34 exponential moving averages. And last week the 13 was below the 34, but last week the 13, the fast moving average moved above the 34 moving average, so that's positive. That's bullish. And you know, Elliott Wave, I'm not sure what kind of Elliott Wave count to put on gold, but you know, a bullish case would have this, you know, the pullback maybe being a big fourth wave with a fifth wave to come. Hard to say, but if that is true, then gold would go on to make new highs now. And the next chart is a 60-minute chart of GLD, the ETF, so we can see the volume, and so we can see the intraday chart of gold, which you can't on stock charts. You can only see the daily, weekly, and monthly charts of GOLD. So GLD here on the 60-minute chart, a little concerned about it. It has a little rising wedge here with some negative divergence, and so that's one thing to keep an eye on. And actually, speaking of this GLD chart, I just looked at Kitco.com, and I see the price of gold tonight is down $14, and so maybe this rising wedge will play out. Again, gold had a great week last week. It took out one resistance, but it still is above that, you know, the major downtrend from the March highs. And it is still below 936, guys. And so maybe this chart will play out. Maybe we'll get a little pullback on gold here. Now, moving on to silver. Here's a daily chart of silver. And it's in kind of this rising channel at that resistance. And so a pullback could, you know, would be logical here. If it breaks this to the upside, however, silver could move up to around the 14 area. That's major, major resistance. And also, notice how I have Fibonacci retracements drawn in here in red. The 50% retracement comes in right at 14, and so I don't think silver will get over that area without a major pullback. And currently tonight it's pulling back. Currently tonight silver is down 27 cents, so not too much. Gold's down a lot more. Now the weekly chart of silver concerns me a little bit. Here's a weekly chart of silver, and you can see that you know, yes, the TRIX has crossed, which is positive, and the MACD had crossed actually last year. But, you know, there is major resistance up here at the 65 and 42-week moving averages and around the Fibonacci areas. And the next chart, when you look at the monthly chart of silver, I think this really puts into perspective. You can see the divergent high that silver formed early last year. And so the pullback was logical. Now, it's had a nice rally here, but when you really look at the silver the monthly chart. This move up in silver just looks too V-ish. It looks like a bear flag to me. It looks like it has to come in eventually. It might go up a little more, but it can't just go straight up here. From a technical standpoint, it just, you know, in the way the MACD looks, silver looks like, you know, it has to come in sometime. And also the RSI at the top, the 50% area appears to be resistant. So I know some folks are bullish at silver on the website, but you know, and it might go up a little more in the short term, maybe the 13.5 or 14 range. But honestly, based on these weekly and monthly charts, I would say then it will pull back, just because this move just looks unsustainable. It looks suspiciously like a bear flag. Now, moving on to gold stocks. Actually, not gold stocks. Let's look at the... Let's move on to the U.S. dollar. Here's a daily chart of U.S. dollar. And really, nothing has changed here. You know, for the past several weeks, really the past month or so, I've portrayed U.S. dollar in this steep rising uptrend channel, and it continues to hold. U.S. dollar pulled back pretty strongly, but you know, once again, it found support at the uptrend line and the 50-day moving average, and it's and the 20-day moving average, and it's rallied up. The U.S. dollar remains strong for now. However, you know, to me, the move still appears a little vertical. It's still, you know, would think eventually that this could break down. But for now, you know, the U.S. dollar has had a, continues to move up here. And the next chart is just a hypothetical chart. I still think that the U.S. dollar will make new highs sometime this year. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that based on, you know, all the money that the government is going to have to print. And I agree with that. However, I think, at least in the short term, deflation is strong, and that's going to work out for a while. The weekly and monthly charts on the U.S. dollar, which I do not have in this update, but I've shown them in past newsletters, did not have any negative divergence on that big rally up we had into November. And so my prediction is that the U.S. dollar will eventually make another attempt at a new high in a wave C. Okay, and so... And I think the wave C, once that is complete, will be it for the U.S. dollar. And then I think it'll have a major pullback, and we could have a hyperinflationary scenario. But for now, I think deflation still is in control. So the next chart is a hypothetical chart of the U.S. dollar, and what could be forming a symmetrical triangle pattern. You know, the U.S. dollar could break this steep wedge, this steep channel, the downside, pull back. You know, that would, and then rally up. Again, very hypothetical. We could just break out to the upside and go to new highs now, but just thought I would throw it out here. Now let's move on to gold stocks, folks. Gold stocks underperformed relative to the metal last week. They did have a move to the upside. The GDX hit its 200-day moving average, which was my target. So that was hit, but that ended up being it for gold stocks. And I think if you're a gold bug, you need to be very cautious about gold stocks for now. The first chart is a weekly chart of GDX, or the XAU, and I think this puts it in perspective. You can see this long-term uptrend line from 2000, and this was broken earlier this year. We've rallied strongly all the way back to that uptrend line. And again, as you know in technical analysis, when a trend line is broken, it often becomes resistance and is retested. And this is what is occurring right now. This would be a logical area for gold stocks to pull back. Precious metal stocks. The next chart is a daily chart of GDX. Last week, my target was the 200-day moving average, and that was hit. And it pulled back, and it rallied up again, but pulled back on Friday. And that's the thing. Gold stocks pulled back on Friday, even though gold rallied over $20, and so that was a negative. This pattern is clearly a rising wedge pattern, and there is negative divergence here. Also, the GDX-GLD ratio is trying to break. This is a warning, folks. These are typically bearish patterns, and we stopped right at the 200-day moving average. So be on the lookout for a pullback, a strong pullback here in gold stocks, possibly. So if gold stocks continue to pull back and they break the wedge to the downside, looks like around 32.5, gold stocks could really have a nice pullback. So that's one thing to watch. Now, this On the other hand, if gold stocks break this wedge to the upside and close strongly over the 200-day moving average, this bearish pattern would be negated. So, but it is something to be very cautious of. And also, of course, the fact that the XAU weekly chart is back at its broken uptrend line. Here's another chart of GDX. And I show this chart just in case gold stocks broke out of the wedge and have a strong rally here. The next major resistance would be that downtrend line. That's quite far away, and honestly, really no reason to even discuss that right now. But thought I'd throw it on here. The next chart's a weekly chart of GDX. And again, you can see these weekly charts put things into perspective that daily charts do not many times. You can see the vertical rally that gold stocks have had off the bottom. You know, they retraced about 50% of the whole move down from the March highs. And they're also running right into the 42-week moving average, which is also the 42-week moving average, but the 200-day moving average. So again, you know, a pullback from these areas seems logical. And again, if gold stocks really pull back here, that's why I would be a little cautious on gold and metal. Even though gold looks strong here, as you know, all of you know in the past, typically gold stocks lead the metal, and if they pull back, that's, you know, generally gold soon follows. So, but that's one thing to keep an eye on. And the last chart is a 60-minute chart of GDX, and I stated last week to watch the ratios, the GDX-GLD ratio. Well, that was broken last week and early last week, and gold stocks had a pullback here and then a little rally up here. You can see a little uptrend line from the lows here. Again, it pretty much matches the daily chart of GDX. So again, folks, let's see what happens this week. It should be a very important week. You know, as Steve Nelson stated, both for the stock market, the general market, which is many of the market indexes such as the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, etc., are in these symmetrical triangle patterns. So a big move is coming. We either rally off support or we break down. And honestly, a lot of commodities look similar. So let's see what happens. And anyway, it's getting late. Let me go ahead and get this newsletter done and send out to you folks. So great Super Bowl game. And I will see you all in this week in the blog. Thank you.